is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a
from the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. I'm Two-Face and the Five-Star Man. Two-Face because I don't have hearing in my right ear and Allie just took out my right eye. So
it's
thanks.
A good shot.
And it's odd enough that we're talking about Two-Face. He's a DC character and that's the topic of the show tonight. Another DC show. But before we get to that, let me introduce the panel because this is a special show. We've got a lot of people here. Down at the end of the table, my usual co-host on Tuesdays, Asa Gray, the Five-Star Man.
Five.
To my right, Ali Abair, the, what should we call you? Deadeye?
Deadshot.
Deadshot.
That was a good shot.
Oh, Deadshot. Yeah. Good shot. So Will Smith's here.
Hello.
There you go. And then over here to my left, the man on Sundays, Jesse Kimball.
It would have been a better shot, I think, had she not been 2 feet away from you. Less, actually, whenever she extended her arm.
Yeah.
No. She was aiming real hard for that eyeball.
Why?
Real hard.
Why?
Let's just all...
Because you were aiming so hard for the eye is what I'm getting
no,
at.
No, I actually wasn't. I just kind of threw it, and that's where
I think. I think that we can argue that point, actually, because next to Jesse is Dalton Anthony. Dalton, now you have experience with this. How often has she tried to take my eyes out?
A whole lot. I would actually say that you're dead eye.
Yeah.
Because at one point
Who's
you will
Deadeye?
Be blind. Nobody. Well, Deadeye Shannon
Duck
and from... Allie keeps going.
From, what was the name of that show?
What are you talking about?
Deadeye Duck. He was
Darkwing
on.
Oh, Duck.
Lindsay would be so mad right now. No, Bucky O'Hare. Bucky O'Hare.
Bucky O'Hare.
You guys don't remember Bucky O'Hare?
Don't you mean
Ducky
O'Hare?
No.
I mean, I'm familiar with Bucky O'Hare, but I never saw it or played the game.
There was Bucky O'Hare, there was Deadeye Duck, and then everybody else.
and the gang.
and the gang was awesome. All right. So that is your panel for tonight. We got a special topic to talk about. Last
Friday.
It was Friday.
Was it yeah, it was Friday.
It was Friday. Yeah. Last Friday, the five of us went to go see Suicide Squad. We talked about it. It wasn't last Tuesday, but the Tuesday before last.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did a show kind of previewing it and talked about what we were afraid would happen and stuff like that. Well, we all saw it on Tuesday or on Friday and, we're going to talk about it.
Hated it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Jesse, you talked about it on Sunday, but you gave a spoiler free version.
Yeah. It was just basically our general nerd up review of movies.
Right.
Mike
Brandon was on the show.
He was on the show.
I wanted to be on that show. Now, originally, we were talking about doing this show on Sunday.
Yes.
It was going to be a Nerd Up special about Suicide Squad. We may have even mentioned it on the show. Here's why that didn't happen. Because on Friday, my ear started to hurt. Actually, Thursday. If you go back and listen to the Thursday show, I say at the beginning, yeah, it feels like something's exploding in my ear. But I didn't pay attention to it. I ignored it. Well, on Saturday, when we were playing Dungeons & Dragons, there's two of these people. God, that sounds awful from the start, doesn't it? As we were playing Dungeons & Dragons...
It's fine. Move past it.
Wrestling and Dungeons and Dragons. I was in so much pain that Hunter, God bless him, I'm pretty sure he hurried the finish of that dungeon.
That room was real tiny.
Yeah, it was like you go to a hallway, there's a guy there. He's really weak, though. You could probably kill him really fast.
No, he definitely was not weak.
Yeah, he wasn't weak. He just, you know, we had him, he was trying to get through us, and it...
He couldn't.
There was a choke point.
There was a wall.
Now, while he was trying to do that, everybody else was role playing and having, well, you weren't really role playing, but you were having fun. We were playing. I was sitting over there with my hands on my face, like dying. I was in so much pain. I went to the doctor that night. I never go to the doctor. So this is unique for me. Jesse, you know, I've been to the doctor once, probably twice in my entire life. And it turns out I have an ear infection, which I got apparently, best guess, from going swimming the day before my birthday. Which was so much fun. I had such a good time. I remember bragging about how awesome it was. I had the pool to myself. The water was warm. Apparently it left bacteria in my ear, which then grew into a horrible pain. I spent Saturday night and most of Sunday in complete agony. I took work off 2 days in a row. This is the first time I've actually been out in the public since Saturday. So I'm well enough to do this show. I can't hear out of my right ear. So if Allie squeaks, you guys might have to translate it for me occasionally.
She's gonna sound like something off the like the Peanuts. Womp 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 womp.
Any of the adults talking?
I mean, that's how most women sound to me in general. Honestly.
Oh,
unless
no.
They ask me what I want on my sandwich.
Oh no!
It's not
High
Thursday.
Five,
nope.
You're lucky I don't have another twisty
It's not Thursday.
Tie.
It's Tuesday.
Keep that mess to Thursday.
She's gonna hit that other eye, dog.
I said I want to talk. I want to send a special shout out before we get to the topic to JR Davis because last night when I was on a mixture of at least five different bills.
know.
Which, yeah, there may have been things I didn't tell you.
You got his hand on some Benadryl.
I took everything possible to knock me out. I haven't slept in 3 days. So I took everything I possibly could to knock me out. Well, I finally did fall asleep, and I woke up an hour later tripping. That's the only way I can describe it. How people feel when they're on bath salts or acid or whatever, that's how I must have felt. Because I thought I was going to die.
You just had a panic attack, like a really, really bad panic attack.
It was a panic attack mixed with no sleep, mixed with new medication. Like, it was just a perfect storm of just bad.
So it was basically an enhanced fever dream. You're making it sound like you were at Woodstock.
No, I wish you could have been there. I was shaking. I thought I was going to pass out. I've never felt like I was going to pass out before. And ever in my life, I've never felt like this. It was so awful that I woke Lindsay up at 4 a.m. and I literally told her, I'm tripping right now. Like, I'm so scared. I need you to calm me down. So we walked around. I was like rambling. I'm shaking. I'm shaking so bad, even though I'm not cold. And she sets me down. She like pets my head and just tells me to breathe. I start breathing slowly. I finally come out of it. She goes back to sleep. I try to go back to sleep, and I'm so uncomfortable every time I start to fall asleep that I feel like I'm going to start tripping again or panicking or whatever you want to call it. So I grab my phone, and it's 4 a.m. Who's up at 4 a.m? I'll tell you who. J.R. Davis. And I texted J.R. for like 30 minutes, just like, hey, what's up? He's like, nothing. And we talk, and then I finally fell asleep, and I slept until almost, I think, 11 or noon. So it was amazing. I woke up feeling like $1 million. So thank you, JR, for listening to me ramble last night. I appreciate it. Thank you for being weird and staying up late.
I think it's mostly his, I feel like his schedule is probably something like he wakes up at 2 p.m., goes to work at like 6, and then stays there until 2 a.m.
Yeah, because he works at Rhodes.
He works at the gas station library.
He works at the gas library. But yeah, I appreciate that.
So every time you said I was tripping, I kept going back to the It's Always Sunny episode where they're trying out for the Eagles and dropped acid in the trailer.
Yeah, no.
Did you see the Green Man?
And so did Charlie.
Yeah, that's right, because the Green Man, he was freaking out in his head while
like I ended up that night of trying to climb through a trash can.
Did you think you were escaping through a toilet?
I did. I was like, okay, into the toilet I go.
But yeah, every time I was like, I'm tripping. I was like, yeah, you sound like Frank.
I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Everybody knows this about me. I'm fairly straight edge. I say fairly because there was a period there where I enjoyed the sauce a little bit. But I've never been drunk and I've never been high. So I don't know what they feel like. The closest I ever got to it was that night Lee Hodges spiked our drink. And you and I
please no.
Okay.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. Lee Hodges did not spike our drinks.
No, but he gave us, he just walked over and was like, hey, we ordered these. We don't want them. Do you want them? And Jesse and I are like, yeah, that's fine. And Jesse will vouch that we were both buzzed after like a couple drinks.
I had three beers that night. And,
because I don't really know what it feels like.
Like I was, I was.
Jesse said he didn't want to drive.
I was less than sober.
Yeah. So, no.
After three drinks, which is really unusual for me.
Didn't spike our drink, but whatever he gave us was pretty strong, I guess. And that's a lesson, kids. Even if you know someone and they just walk up to you and go, here, drink this. Like, if you don't drink, no, this isn't a joke. If you don't drink normally and someone who does drink says, here, drink this, and you take the whole glass and go, sure, that's not a good idea. Because I can tell you, from someone that doesn't have much of a tolerance level for alcohol like me, even something small can make you feel just not good.
Which is why you thought it was spiked. It was just a high alcohol percentage.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's craft beer.
No, yeah.
They have more alcohol in them than normal beers.
And I'm hoping it's now very clear that Lee Hodges did not spike our drinks. And I think that.
Yeah. Like, Asa's staring at me. That was never my intention, was to make it sound like he had really done that. Sometimes I forget that
other
our
than
jokes,
just the exact sentence that you said.
It's been a running joke.
This is a thing that happened. But no, I didn't mean to make it sound like that was a thing that happened.
Shannon forgot that we weren't on microphones, because that's a running joke like between me and Shannon.
Apparently Asa doesn't get sarcasm. I love seeing him try to figure me out, and he can't.
Another bit that no one's going to get.
Yeah. I don't even think Asa got it. It's Trump. The man who haunted my dreams last night and made me not sleep.
Yeah, he actually said that about after he re-flip-flopped on the
ISIS.
Yeah, on Obama and Hillary founding ISIS.
Yeah, but that's another show for another time. That's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to actually talk about is Suicide Squad. So let's jump into that before I say anything else damaging. You know who texted me last night?
Oh, dear God.
No.
No.
We're not going to jump into that?
No.
Okay.
That's hilarious. That's my favorite bit.
Suicide Squad.
I don't want to do the show anymore.
No, we're recording.
We're already recording. Let's just talk about some Suicide
Jesse,
Squad.
Jesse, you take it over.
All right. So he actually did turn off his microphone. We'll see how long he keeps the bit going. All right. We already said we hated it, so I guess that's the show. But we're going to go ahead and talk about why we hated it. Right, Shannon?
Turn his microphone back.
Hey, I apologize for anybody that's having to listen to this. If that's doing any weird stuff, we apologize.
No, it
I don't
doesn't.
Think it does, because I'm pretty sure we've turned off microphones before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's
I completely walked off the set once and had Ethan do the interview with Zach Gergis, remember?
Yeah.
I do remember
no,
that.
No, we tried to block that out.
No, we don't block it out. You made a joke about it earlier.
Oh, we browned
remember?
Out.
Remember? Oh, the gas library.
Oh. All right, so yeah, we're going to talk about Suicide Squad. I haven't listened to Nerd Up yet, so... Let's just do the Nerd Up one more time, because who was on Nerd Up? Asa, you were there.
Yeah, it was the three of us and then Mike Branham.
Okay, right. So you guys already did your review for it. What did you say? Now, first, Jesse, tell us again what the review system is for Nerd Up.
Okay, so the review system starts with, if it was a great movie, I guess basically I should preface this. We don't like the number system.
Right.
Assigning an arbitrary number, like assigning a 10 to a movie doesn't make sense in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Because there could be a phenomenal movie that'll get a 10, and there could be just a good movie that's fun to watch that's worth seeing that'll get a 6.
Right.
So yeah, don't like the number system. So you have full price, which is the top rating. That's the top score. That means you go out in theaters and see it, maybe opening weekend, whatever, but you pay full price to do so. Then you have matinee, like it's worth seeing it in theaters, but don't pay full price. See it like the Tuesday night or a matinee. Then there's rental, and then there's skip it. And I think those two are pretty obvious.
Did we add another option for catch it on TV? I thought we'd mentioned that.
It got mentioned, but I think we dismissed it because now we're just being silly.
Because we could put that on a rental.
Okay.
Like, it's the same thing.
So rental / catch it on television, kind of similar.
Don't see it in theaters, basically, and don't pay more money for it than you need to.
I can't ever recommend a movie to catch on television unless it's something like Netflix.
Plus, like, most of us don't have cable.
Yeah. Well, just because, like, anytime we watch a movie on TV with commercials, it just ruins the flow.
Yeah, we watched
this movie. If you injected commercials into this movie, no, it would be unwatchable.
Commercials can absolutely just destroy a flow of something. We watched, I showed her a Masters. Did you guys ever watch Masters of Horror when it was on Showtime? I showed her The Fair-Haired Child today, and I really liked that episode, but it was on Hulu that I pay for. So, of course, there were commercials. And literally.
For Hulu.
Yeah. And there was literally
Triggered. It's like watching WrestleMania, and they're like, "This is how you order the WWE Network."
Oh.
Be like, "It's the only way to watch it.
This is the only way to watch the pre-show. It's on this thing."
There was 30 seconds of show, and then it went to another minute of commercials.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Someone, anyway,
I just saw a thing on Reddit where they were watching a movie, and it was for every 7 minutes of movie, there were 4 minutes of commercials
on Hulu.
Jiminy
Christmas. Not on, it wasn't on Hulu, but it was on just like on cable.
Oh, at least on on movies, Hulu doesn't put commercials in the middle of a movie.
Not anymore. I think they used to, because I remember some movies had commercials and it drove me crazy.
I don't remember.
I had a friend. I think they changed.
Unless it was a TV movie.
I think they changed the way that they do the ads now. But I had a friend who, if he was watching like an hour long show, he would skip to the very last part, watch all 4 or 5 sets of commercials at once, and then go back to the beginning. Because it used to, like, once you hit the commercial point, if you'd already watched it, it wouldn't play again. But I think they changed it to where you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, and you can also have the option now of paying the extra $2 and then no commercials.
Which is the version
for most things. There are still some things that have commercials.
With certain deals, like with brand new shows, I think NBC has the deal. So, like, New Girl? I think New Girl's on NBC.
That's on Fox, isn't it?
Is it?
It's NBC, I'm pretty sure.
No, New Girl's Fox.
Regardless. You're right.
Yeah, New Girl's Fox.
Okay,
Allie, you should know this. Don't you watch New Girl?
I watch it on Netflix.
Touche, salesman.
I also watched it on Netflix first, and then I watched it on Hulu because it's real good. Anywho, there's a commercial at the very beginning and then a commercial at the very end.
Ugh.
So there's no commercials on the inside. But, and I guess it's some deal they have with Fox or whoever where, they get the ad revenue. But yeah, like you don't even have to watch the last commercial because obviously it's at the end of the episode. You could just kind of shut it off. So you have to watch a 30-second commercial at the beginning and then no commercials.
That's gross.
See, I'm a perfectionist, or not a perfectionist, completionist maybe you would say. So like when Lindsay and I tried to watch the new Sailor Moon Crystal series on Hulu, they would do the episode preview at the end of the episode for the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after the last set of commercials. So even though I knew there was nothing else for this episode, I would still sit through those commercials for like a 20-second preview for next episode.
Or something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where they always throw in the bonus scene right before the credits.
Yeah.
Well, to Hulu's credit on that, like they literally wait until the end credits if you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
The end credits roll, the episode is completely done, and then they throw another ad in.
Also important to mention that Hulu no longer does a free option.
Do they not?
Mm-mm.
I have access to the commercial-free version. But I never watch it because every time I try to stream anything on my Chromecast, I get about 5 minutes in and it crashes. No matter what I try to do.
That's weird.
It's so annoying. And it's been like that, like, whenever, like, we were trying to go through the new season of South Park. And the entire time, like, we'd maybe get 10, 15 minutes in. And for whatever reason, on the Chromecast app, like the Hulu mobile app, it's not like Netflix where you can pick where you were and just kind of, like, scroll to the point. That it's not there. So you have to start from the beginning.
You might need to do an update because mine has that option.
It updated last night and it happened last night.
That, oh, wow. That reminds me of Netflix on 360. There for a while it had no start over option. So you had to rewind
to
the beginning of the episode or movie.
I actually made a second account on Netflix. Like on my Netflix account, there's one called Rewatcher. Because like if there's anything that I wanted to rewatch, like a movie or something like that, then yeah, like – you couldn't do just play from the beginning, and it wouldn't automatically do it. And
that's
I did it specifically for that.
All right, so somehow we got off topic.
What? Surprise.
No tangents tonight. No tangents.
None. Oh, yeah. We were talking about the rating system. So what did you guys rate Suicide Squad?
Basically, I
was
I
it
said
the same
that,
around the board?
No. It was a little different. Because I said, if you are really, really excited to see this and you actually legitimately want to see it, rental is the best I can give it.
Dalton?
And if I was the same way, if you really want to see it or you're not too tied to the comic books, I say matinee.
So you said matinee, that's the cheaper option.
Yeah, if you can get it for $6 or $8.
Right.
Do it then.
Rent it.
Rent it. Allie, what do you think?
I would probably say rent it.
Rent it?
Yeah.
I'm real tempted to say skip it because I was really unhappy with this film.
You hated it so much.
I did. Yeah. But at the same time, I know that it's a comic book movie. So there are a lot of people that are going to love it and they'll love it. So I can't say skip it because it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen. It wasn't, you know, Fear.com. It wasn't The Nutty Professor 2.
Oh.
I'm going to put it in the rental column for me too.
I mean, see, you basically went through the same set of reasoning that I went through.
Really?
Yeah, because like, and I followed mine up with, if you are not a fan or you only have like a, if you are, have a passive interest in this movie, skip it entirely. That was.
If you know anything about Suicide Squad or much about DC characters in general, maybe skip it. But like I never saw Avatar, the not James Cameron, but the Last Airbender.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was the perfect candidate to see the M. Night Shyamalan version because I don't have anything to hold it to. So I could watch it and go, oh, it wasn't that bad. Like, Lord of the Rings. I never read the books. Jurassic Park. I did read the book on Jurassic Park. But there's been a couple things that I've not seen other media of it. So when I see it, I just kind of go, oh, I liked it. I thought it was good. Whereas other people hated it. So I could see the Suicide Squad being similar, where if you just want to go see an action movie type thing,
see,
and you're not attached to the characters.
I would disagree because the characters were actually fine in the movie, in my opinion. The problem was the storytelling. Like, the pacing was weird, and the story was bad, the mechanics were awful.
A lot of the dialogue was just real over the top
cliched.
Cheesy.
And yeah. Let's get into it. You ready to go into spoiler territory?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Dalton, did you have something
you want to say? No, I was about to say, do we want to say spoilers now?
Yeah. Or? All right. So this is the spoiler section, and it's probably going to be for the rest of the show. So, for those of you who haven't seen Suicide Squad and are checking out right now, thanks for coming in. You heard our ranking of it. When you go see the movie, or if you just don't care, enjoy the next 40 minutes. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow. Pro Wrestling Unscripted. I'm waving. You can't see it.
Great visual gag.
Thank you. Okay, so let's get into the spoiler of it. Let's start with the characters themselves, because you said the characters were good. The actors were good.
The actors portrayed the characters well.
Yeah. But the characters themselves, I thought, some of them didn't have characters. Like Captain Boomerang. All right, first off, who was your favorite character in the movie? Let's go around the room. Allie, you first.
Why me first? I want to think
Jesse,
about
you
this.
First. God.
Man, I don't know. It would probably be El Diablo.
Yeah, you did like him a lot.
Yeah, El Diablo is pretty awesome. Or maybe Deadshot would be up there. And I actually didn't dislike Harley Quinn. I just disliked certain ways they, you know, used Harley Quinn in the movie.
Yeah, we'll get there. Dalton, yeah. What about you?
Absolutely love Deadshot.
You were Deadshot?
He's the only reason why I like the movie.
Okay. Asa?
I wanted to say El Diablo because he actually had my favorite part in the movie and the only really redeeming part to me.
Which remind us of
the scene where Deadshot finally gets him to snap and let go and actually use his powers. And instead of them doing the just, man, that felt good, like he was excited to do it, he immediately was like,
he was
I
angry
told you,
that...
I didn't want to do that. Like, right. And that was an actual good character moment, which the movie actually had a few of. But a I really have to give it to Amanda Waller. She was just and the best, because that is, there are no redeeming qualities about Amanda Waller in any version of Amanda Waller.
She was pretty spot on, the actress. I think Viola Davis
killed it.
Yeah, she was really good as Amanda Waller. I thought she was, like, for me envisioning people as the characters, I thought she was the best. I saw Amanda Waller.
Everyone always, like, the big thing whenever they announced that, like, even when there was rumors of a Suicide Squad movie, everyone was, like, clamoring for Oprah.
Really?
Which I would have loved to see.
That would have been pretty cool. Or Tyler Perry.
But no, she killed it. She was so good.
She was so bitchy.
She was so hateable.
Yeah.
Like, everything about her
very
is just
unlikable.
Like, yeah.
Which is kind of what you want for bad guys.
I mean, that's what you want for Amanda Waller, because Amanda Waller is not necessarily a bad guy. Like,
she wasn't
she's just an unapologetic.
I wasn't going there.
Like, she's just an unapologetic, like, monster.
Since we mentioned D&D earlier, if you're going with that, she's probably chaotic good. Like, she has her idea of what is good and what is right.
I feel like she can't be good, though, and specifically for the part where she just shoots her own operatives.
It's for the greater good.
Well, we already said spoilers.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's for the greater good. Like, she did that because they didn't have clearance and they could have put her task force in jeopardy, and her task force is designed to save millions of lives from intergalactic threats.
Well, that's a huge problem I have with the whole movie in general.
What exactly?
Oh, yeah, well, no, yeah, that's a different
that's
problem.
That's actually not what the task force is supposed to be.
Also, what exactly could they have said that would have put it in jeopardy?
Oh, hey, bad Amanda Waller's been... Hey,
the government has put together a team of bad guys?
Deadshot, Harley Quinn, and Captain Boomerang came in and saved Amanda Waller?
But didn't they... I mean, the government knew they were doing that, right?
Only
the
like,
government did, but the public doesn't.
Like... Yeah.
Then people knew about it.
Yeah, and it the government. It's like the upper echelon secret society shit.
So instead of saying, hey, this is top secret stuff, you can't tell anybody, she just shot him?
Yeah.
She didn't trust him.
Yeah, they weren't trustable. And don't get us wrong. Like, we are not justifying this.
Right.
This is her reasoning behind it.
Right.
It's the Ozymandias.
It was a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But it was a very Amanda Waller thing to do, because Amanda Waller is a monster.
Yes.
Hope she gets her comeuppance. Allie, what about you? What was your favorite character?
I really liked Amanda Waller.
I like Captain Boomerang. I really did. Like, but here's the problem.
All 7 minutes of dialogue that he had in the movie?
He looked like he was actually having fun. Like, it was Jai Courtney. And the only other thing I've ever seen Jai Courtney in, he was in Terminator Genesis. He played Kyle Reese.
Still haven't seen that.
Well, the person that played Kyle Reese originally was Michael Biehn. They look nothing alike. Michael Biehn looks like a scraggly guy from the 80s. Jai Courtney is a buff beast, right? So everyone gave him shit for it. And they said, well, he's a terrible Kyle Reese. He's a wooden actor and all this and that. So this movie comes out and I didn't really have a lot of hope for it because of that. But he looks like he's having so much fun. He's got his pink unicorn. He got to use his actual accent, which was cool. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone can do that, it's always more fun. Like Colin Farrell in Daredevil. Colin Farrell.
No, I get it. Why did you jump to that one? Because
I couldn't think of anybody else.
I mean, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, I was about to say a much more recent example.
You mean that's not what he sounds like? I thought he was just Thor. Isn't that how he talks all the time?
Like Thor?
Yeah.
He covers his eyes when things are too loud.
I love that gag so much.
But the problem with Captain Boomerang was, like, he was so utterly pointless.
Yes.
You know, the best part
from a character perspective, like, what was his backstory? Other than he robbed some stuff and he got thrown in jail.
Which was the best scene with him in it.
With Flash?
Oh, mm-hmm. That scene made me, I've seen the movie twice, both times I got giddy for it. Because I love that Flash costume.
I also like the Flash part, and that was cool, and he was cool as Captain Boomerang. I personally did not like Will Smith's Deadshot.
Really?
Because he just, like, it's Will Smith. You know how you always say...
Will Smith did his, like, generic tough guy.
He did his tough guy with a heart of gold act that he does in just about every film.
And he's so good at it, though.
No, he is good, but, like, I found myself having a hard time not just going, that's Will Smith.
I mean, I can kind of see that. It's the same thing with, like, Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, any big-name actor who, especially when they play a similar character
yeah.
more than once, it's real easy to be, oh yeah, that's that person. I especially, because the guy who, I can't remember his name, I never do, but the guy who plays Deadshot in Arrow does such a good job as Floyd Lawton that...
Yeah, I can't think of his name
like,
either,
but I would have liked for him to be in there, but Deadshot, to me,
but
Will Smith
was there. That was their hook. That's how they got the movie made. Oh, right. We've got Will Smith.
But the problem I had with Deadshot, though, was the mask looked so stupid.
It did.
And I... Yeah, that was just a dumb-looking mask. And it's good that he only wore it twice.
Yeah.
Seems kind of pointless why he even wore it.
Yeah.
See, and that was the thing. Whenever they announced Will Smith as Deadshot, I was like, they're never going to put the mask on him.
Because it's Will Smith.
Because you paid, that's your whole budget for your cast right there.
That's like Judge Dredd. The original Judge Dredd was Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
He never wore the helmet, even though that was Judge Dredd's
He did
Dredd's
have
character.
It on at the beginning.
And then took it off and never put it on again.
Yeah, because at that point, like in the comic books, like Judge Dredd, you had not seen his face yet.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't see Judge Dredd's face for like another 10 years in the comic world.
But not in that movie.
No,
because you
that
got
movie,
Stallone.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Yeah. 30 seconds of helmet time.
As opposed to the new Dredd movie with Carl Urban, I did not know Carl Urban was in it.
You know, he never took it off, which was perfect.
And he loved that, too. Like, that's a guy who, like, he didn't care about that his face wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
He just wanted to make this awesome movie, and he did.
It was
and now
so
he's
good.
And now he's trying so hard to get a sequel made.
Which I pray to God they did, because it was such a good movie.
It was such a good movie.
But I could see Will Smith. You have to show Will Smith because it's Will Smith.
And see, I really feel like they should have switched the casting for Rick Flag and Deadshot.
You think Will Smith should have been Rick Flag?
I do. Well, okay. I don't necessarily... I think that Will Smith would have made a better Rick Flag than... I don't even know the dude's name. Anybody?
Country McBumpkin.
Okay. I think that guy would have been a better Deadshot than Will Smith.
Were you talking about Deadshot?
Because whenever I think Deadshot, I don't think like someone clean cut and, you know, just... Big
you don't,
and built
you don't
like that.
See the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No, I don't see the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I see someone that looks a whole lot like the guy they got for Rick Flag, but, you know, without the country accent.
Joel Kinnaman was Rick Flag.
Joel Kinnaman.
I'm just going to stay on IMDb this whole time.
You know my favorite Deadshot moment ever? And I don't know much about the character, to be honest with you, but there's a part in Arkham City where when you're wheeling Bruce Wayne in and he turns around and goes, it's something like, you're on my list, and then just does the bang. That is so cool.
I thought you were about to say that boss battle, which made me mad.
No, I never actually got to fight him.
The scene that the scene that really highlighted Deadshot, whenever he's surrounded by the army guys and he just like gets up on the car.
Oh, and just tears
them
apart.
Unloading,
yeah.
Like that was awesome.
That was awesome. But that's man, if you've got that there, why is Harley Quinn there?
Okay, well first I want to just point out, as awesome as that scene was, that is not Deadshot's character.
No, not at all.
No, he's not the guy from Contra.
He's not I never miss and I also shoot a lot. He's very much hangs in the back. He's a sniper.
He's a sniper.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those, like, and I've said it before, like, I am okay with movies taking a different direction than the comic books so long as, you know, they put in reasoning for it or, you know, they make it logical.
Which is why we had such a problem with Batman v Superman with Batman killing, because there was no reason given for why Batman changed his ideology.
Yeah.
Right. So, and okay with, and it's not even like a color thing, because obviously Rick Flag is a white guy too, and I think Will Smith would have been better suited for that role. It's just, I don't see, like, Deadshot's not an up in the front of the action kind of guy.
No.
Like, he's just not. That's not his character.
I mean, the new 52 run kind of turned him into that more so than he has been. Like he still was never the first one charging in, I don't think.
No, yeah, he was always charging in behind King Shark.
Yeah.
Or
I love that name.
Right. King Shark, Killer Croc, like any of the big guys are distracting.
Can we go to Killer Croc for a second?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about
it. It's
gonna
be just
Croc.
A real disjointed show. Because we're
is.
Just gonna be like, oh, that reminds me of this also terrible
yeah,
thing.
This is not like something that we have plans and have notes for. This is just us.
Well, let's get mad for an hour.
Well, Killer Croc, who's played by, look it up, Dalton. His name's Adewale something, and I will give Dalton a chance to try to pronounce it correctly and fail.
Adewale Akinwale Ajibaji?
Ajibaji!
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 So Killer Croc.
I'm gonna go with Agbaje.
He's one of my favorite characters. Like, he's one of my favorite Batman villains. Because he is just, I think it was the, first off, it was the old animated series that he was in, because I think he was voiced by Ron Perlman, if I remember correctly.
That, I'm pretty sure that's
which
accurate.
Was awesome. And then I saw him in the Arkham games, and that's how I always envisioned Killer Croc, as this giant monster.
And that Croc is awesome.
He is. And then they announced Croc was going to be in the movie, and I thought, holy crap, they're going to put Killer Croc in the movie? Then I saw him in the previews. And I thought, first off, I thought he's too short. He looks like just some dude with a skin condition. And I thought that's what they were going for.
He's still bigger than everybody else. Like, he's still a size-wise. Yeah, he's still a very large person. But he very much, like,
Don, you're shaking your head no.
Ron Perlman was never a Killer Croc.
Who was Killer Croc in Batman?
I didn't figure it out, but I found Ron Perlman.
Maybe I mean, just Clancy because Perlman. It did, because he had, like, Ron Perlman voiced a lot of stuff in that old series.
Yeah.
So what if Killer Croc? I liked him.
Yeah. But so, to me, like, yeah, Killer Croc was big. Yeah. He was, I mean, I kind of understand why they didn't want to go, like, especially with the big bad being, like, the giant demon dude. Like, okay, yeah, Killer Croc can't be that size. And you don't want to have him just like, just kind of.
He couldn't be the Arkham version.
They made him a little bit more relatable size. Like, they made him a little bit more normal size, which I was fine with. Like, I do like that. The Arkham Croc is so awesome.
Yeah, because he's just a giant monster.
Giant.
So, when they announced Adewale playing Killer Croc, I was excited. I really like him as an actor. I loved him in Oz. He played Adebisi, my favorite character from Oz. He's just a great actor. And then when I saw the pictures of him, someone showed me a picture of the Goomba from Mario Brothers.
It was Mike Branham.
Yeah, and now I can't get that out of my head because that's what he looked like. But the worst part was when they showed him with his shirt off. Because here,
the shoulders down.
Yeah, Adewale is a buff dude. He's a pretty strong guy, but he clearly was not buff enough for that head.
No,
he had a
the cowl they made for his costume made his head a lot bigger, but they didn't move the makeup down to his shoulders to keep it out.
Yeah.
Or his torso, even so. And it was not proportional.
He looked odd.
I basically said that it's like he spent 6 hours in the makeup chair getting the head and shoulders done. And like, yeah, he's doing set in 20 minutes. Just draw on the abs. It's fine. Just paint him green and draw
give him
the
some
abs.
Scales.
He looked like a pit bull puppy.
I hated the way Killer Croc looked. And the fact that he spoke a couple lines. I don't know.
I thought he sounded great, and I thought he looked great until we saw him, like, full body.
If he
would
have kept the
and compared
on
to other people.
Until he said he wanted to watch BET.
That was a little baffling.
I mean, that was dialogue being bad in general.
But here's the character. What's the character you hated most in the movie? I know y'all gonna think I'm gonna say Harley Quinn. That's actually not the one I hated most.
I hated what they did with Harley Quinn.
We'll get to that in a second. That's a big part of it. But, like, which character did you hate the most from the film? We'll start
guy.
With Jesse.
Rick Flagg.
Rick Flagg? He Probably. Was the one that annoyed you?
Probably.
I
like,
can see
cause
that.
Rick Flagg is not some good old country boy that, no, they're
skinny
like,
too.
I just didn't like how they did Rick
Flagg. You know
Flagg.
Who should have played Rick Flagg? Yeah. Scott Eastwood, who played like his backup.
Yep, that's it.
He looked like a better Rick Flagg, more military style too, you know? Dalton, who was your least favorite?
The two main bad guys.
Enchantress.
See, I actually really liked Enchantress.
I liked Enchantress
a lot.
Too.
That's the one I hated the most.
I have no idea who Enchantress's brother is. Like,
no.
And even for, like, I meant to look that up because I just don't know. I didn't recognize that character at all.
Did they?
They didn't.
It was just like
my brother.
Yeah. And I didn't honestly know a whole lot about the Enchantress going into this either.
Yeah, I didn't know any about the Enchantress.
Hey, so who's your least favorite?
That one's really hard for me. Also, just real quick sidebar. The actor who plays Killer Croc is also my favorite character from Lost, Mr. Echo.
Yeah.
He was only in like, 6 episodes, amazing. It felt like, but he was awesome.
Amazing actor.
Yeah,
I love
he's
him
great.
In everything he's been in.
And that's when, as soon as you said that name, I was like, oh wait, I think I recognize it for a different reason. I'm gonna have to go with Harley just because what they turned her into. But the problem is, like, even though I hated what they turned her into, like, she still had two really great moments
of character development.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, but the entire, like, her just being nothing but shtick the entire time.
Yeah.
And I guess you could make the argument that, well, those two moments kind of, like, made up for the fact that, like, oh no, there's something behind it, and it is all just an act. But I didn't.
I thought she had the best character development moments of the movie.
Yeah.
I know everyone's going to say Deadshot did because of the kid. And, you know, like, I'm not going to shoot
Batman. I feel
Batman
like those really aren't, like, character developments, though. Those are just, like, establishing his character.
Yeah.
Those felt forced to me. Those felt forced as in to say, yes, he's a bad guy, but he's not a bad person.
But,
see, the
look,
only
but
part
he loves
that really,
his daughter.
The only part that really felt forced and awful to me in terms of his daughter was there at the end with the Enchantress and putting his daughter in front of him.
Yeah.
That felt forced and awful.
Not just in front of him. He was resting the gun on her head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He made her a tripod. Like, just...
Hold still, baby.
Daddy needs a shoot.
Spoiler alert, he didn't miss that shot, though.
No, he had that one.
I mean, it took... He was going in regular motion. Thank God that the bomb had like slow-mo cast on it. Because it took 30 seconds to get up there.
It was a 2-second trigger.
Allie, who was your least favorite?
Joker.
Oh, sweet baby. We'll feed you, baby bird. We'll get to him in a second. I really didn't like Enchantress. I liked Cara Devlin as Enchantress. Mm-hmm. She was really good. I thought she did surprisingly well.
The scene, that was actually also one of the moments that I just thought was awesome.
Ally Sue, I know what you're going to talk about.
Where she has her hand on the table and she tells her to switch.
Oh yeah, that was really
cool.
And
the hand comes through and holds it and then it just flips.
That was
nuts.
Awesome.
Here's my problem with Enchantress, and I didn't think about it, and maybe you guys saw something I didn't, so you can correct me. But I wondered, her whole character was that they had her heart.
Right.
They explained that once they found out about Enchantress, they went to the cave and found her heart there and used it as a controller. And she's been looking for her heart in the movie. She kept telling the brother, they have my heart. Why did she not just grab her heart when she was in the cave?
She tried to. I think there was a device in that suitcase that was beeping because she got to it and started beeping.
No. I'm talking about before. When she first possessed the woman, if the heart was in the cave with her, why did she not just grab the heart?
I think that's actually because the heart is a vulnerability for her. So she didn't think anybody would know to look in the cave for it.
See, the impression that I had is that she was trapped in there. So she didn't know that it was there.
I was thinking that she even said to her brother, we've been kept away for thousands of years. I'm guessing she just wanted to stretch her legs. Like, she just wanted to get out of that cave and start.
Yeah, but you would think if that was a problem for her, if that was her Achilles heel, why did she not, if she's searching for it, why did she not grab it? I don't know.
I have a better question for you.
That was a plot hole for me.
Her brother, imbues her with strength so she, that her
somehow,
heart can get stabbed all day long and be fine.
Somehow, which by the way he did that was simply shooting some tentacles in her.
All right.
Now
that happened, right?
Powered her up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So earlier in the movie, she disappeared, grabbed top secret military documents
from another country.
Came back and set it in some dude's lap. Why could she not go to where Amanda Waller was, grab her heart real quick, and then teleport out?
That's what I was saying. Whenever she got close to it, the one time there was a beeping, so she was probably afraid that it was going to blow up.
Yeah, I think there was
there was a bomb or something.
I think there was a countermeasure to that because she could, because I think she tried. She appeared in that closet to try to get it, but I think she knew that it was rigged, that if she tried to interfere with it.
And that's fine, but here's the thing with movies. And Allie, when she and I argued about Joker and Harley that night, we disagreed on some things. Because I have a theory when it comes to films is that you don't assume, you show it. If it's not shown...
Show, don't tell.
Show, don't tell. So if that heart was restricted, she couldn't get a hold of it, they needed to have some line that said, we had to put it in here and put a bomb to it so that way she wouldn't try to grab it. Give us something.
Well, I mean, it definitely... So whenever they introduce the heart, Waller opens it up because she's showing off in front of the U.S. whatever, secret meeting, and she puts her thumbprint down, and that's whenever the heart, she took the pin to it. So that is telling me that, the only person that has access to this heart is Amanda Waller. Because whenever Enchantress tried getting to it, it literally went, a flashing light went off, and it was beeping. That is telling me that, the only person that has access to the Enchantress's heart.
But didn't Flag get the heart in the end?
That was after they captured Waller, and she was like, do your worst, and then she disappears for the rest of the movie until the very end. At that point, the Enchantress was in control of her. It's easy for me to think that she made her put her thumb down, and then she had control of the heart again.
But they didn't show it again.
You're absolutely right.
If she had control of the heart again, which clearly she didn't because she would have just put it back.
Right. Flag wouldn't have got his hands on it. Yeah,
that's after Harley Quinn.
She did get it back.
That's right.
Yeah, she got it back.
Right.
She got it back and she put it in.
So she got it back and put it inside of her.
Yeah.
Why didn't she do that when she was in the goddamn cave where it was?
Because she didn't know it was there.
Yeah,
I think you'd have to assume.
See, exactly. That's only my assumption, and is that she was trapped in that cave. June Moon, which is such a stupid name. When she discovered her, she opened the crypt that wasn't supposed to be opened. She was supposed to be locked away. Clearly something had stopped her and stored her there.
Right.
So it's very possible that she didn't know it was there. Because she didn't really even try to really escape. She just immediately possessed her and then just kind of like...
Got out. Took a back seat.
Yeah, and then just kind of like hung out until she was discovered by her team. And then they pretty much immediately locked her away.
Which, did they ever show how she became Enchantress the first time? I don't remember.
She got possessed.
Because she was in that like tub, like up to her eyes.
Right.
And then the...
I wish there was some kind of explanation. I wish there was an explanation for it.
At least a better one. There might have been that we forgot or
maybe
missed.
A cutscene.
Because it's been almost
yeah,
like
part of me kind of wish that we had done it like that night, but the other part of me just, A, it was already late and I didn't want to, and B, all we would have just talked about is how angry we were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it's a Batman v Superman thing where they added stuff. There'll be stuff in the special edition.
I really want to see the movie David Ayer's made.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that's more the issue than like the Batman v Superman. WB didn't make them cut. They straight up made them change their
and
original
add
idea.
Stuff. Like the scene where that they show in the trailer where she breaks into the thing and steals a purse. We're the bad guys. The two scenes surrounding that, it is so out of place and forced. And you can tell, okay, well, David Ayer didn't want that in his movie.
And both times I watched the movie, because I've seen it twice, both times there wasn't laughter.
No.
Like, nobody in the theater laughed.
Nobody laughed at any part of the movie.
No.
I don't remember a single one-liner thrown out there that someone giggled at.
I mean, I giggled from, but whenever I was with you guys, I already knew it was coming. So, but like, the first time I watched it, there was a couple of scenes where like, I went like, huh. Like, but I didn't laugh at all. Like, I didn't pull out.
I feel like every time there was just a bad one-liner out of place, that was those reshoots they were talking about.
Yeah.
Because Deadshot especially was cracking one-liners all the time.
I feel like some of that may have been Will Smith ad-libbing.
And not even that, just like, which not even that, like, because he talked shit. Like, Floyd Lawton is a kind of a mouthy dude.
He's the Merc with a mouth.
Well,
No.
You're thinking of Deathstroke.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Deathstroke.
I get it.
Heatstroke.
Deathpool?
Deathpool. Gwynpool.
Spider-Gwen. Spider-Man. Guys, I just had a great idea. What if there's a guy who has all of the abilities of a spider?
Spoderman.
His name will be Dan Spiderman.
Give us.
Earlier tonight, we were debating about who was better, Dr. Fate or Dr. Strange. And one of the things that I mentioned is that, like, I've always kind of disliked the fact that Dr. Strange is a doctor whose last name is Strange, who then becomes Sorcerer Supreme, and he's like, oh, he's the doctor of all this strange stuff. It's like if a kid who saw his parents get murdered, and then took on the abilities of a bat was named, you know, his name was Bruce Batman. And then I will become the Batman. It's just silly.
Johnny Orphan.
To be fair, when did Dr.
That's a whole sidebar.
Yeah. So anyway.
How about the name Rick Flagg, and he's an army guy?
June Moon. The entire time I was watching that movie, and Meth Kingpin. Every time they said that name, I thought I was hearing it wrong. I genuinely was like, that can't be it. That's not. Why are they saying that? Is that a joke? Like.
Also, we want to give a special shout out and an award for thanks for showing up to Adam Beach, a Slipknot.
Red shirt. Like, I don't know if that was supposed to be like the joke or what, but it's like as soon as it's like, oh, here's your teammate Slipknot. He can climb any building. I just immediately, like, I'm sure Jesse had the exact same thought. Like, oh, he's the guy they kill with the bomb.
I mean, yeah, you and I mentioned it. Yeah.
Like, that's the guy they killed to prove that the bombs are real.
Well, and despite that happening, by the way, they kept trying to get away.
To be fair, after that point, yeah, they kept trying to get away, but they no longer doubted the explosive device.
Well, the times that because they actually had to save Rick Flagg because they knew if he dies, we die.
Right.
So, I mean, I remember them actively trying to run away was after Flagg gave up and he like broke the device.
Yeah.
Cause then,
but that's when they all.
No. Cause then Captain Boomerang immediately runs. Like he just immediately pieces out. Okay. That's funny. That makes sense. I will allow that. And then they have the big, we're family.
Where they strut down the street together.
Cause we've known each other for 2 days. We're family.
Captain Boomerang shows up again.
And then he just walks back in like, oh, yeah, because he didn't hear a single bit of that speech.
Also, El Diablo, where he says, I lost one family, I'm not going to lose another one. For these people, he is barely known.
And have done nothing but make fun of him and...
Goad him.
Him into using...
But they're family now. Also, I mentioned this during the after the show, and I feel like you guys weren't on my side on it, but I'm going to mention it anyway because I still have a problem with it. El Diablo was the guy that they locked in a vault who said, I will never raise my fist again in anger. I'd rather die in peace in here. So he's saying he would rather die in that tank than ever fight again. Yet goes on the mission, and instead of just dying, because that's what he wants to do, then proceeds to burn half the monsters. Because
I don't think,
I don't think that he necessarily wants to die. He just said he would rather die than fight.
But he still fought.
He did.
But all
he
also, because Will Smith barely said something.
But he
to
also
him.
Didn't fight humans. And that was the thing. Like Kevin Smith put it perfectly in his podcast talking about the movie, in that they went real Avengery, where, okay, we have these faceless, non-human things that can, that don't really bleed, so we can get all the headshots and stuff that, without getting the R rating.
Right. Which, they, by the way, should have had an R rating.
Yeah,
that should have had an R rating. It was Suicide Squad.
It would have been a much better movie.
It also should have had a more centralized plot against someone that wasn't, like, I think it was either Jesse or Asa that said non-extinction level.
Yeah. The extinction, the Suicide Squad is not for an extinction level threat.
That's what the Justice League is for.
Yes, the Suicide Squad is for, oh, so one of our political enemies or allies has this thing or person that we want. We can't, it is basically an act of war if we send in troops to get this thing. We're gonna send these group of criminals to go do it because either they succeed, great, we get the thing we want, they die, who cares, they're criminals, or they get captured and we can completely disavow any knowledge of it and they can just think that why would Deadshot be interested in this hostage in Tehran?
Yeah, they're basically the Mission Impossible team. And covert agents that if something happens to, or they're James Bond. If something happens to you, we don't know who you are. We don't know why you did it. You're on your own.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no backing. You don't send them to like, there's no reason that other than the fact that he's dead, I guess, and that Batman didn't care about it because reasons, I guess just because the Justice League hasn't been created yet.
Yeah.
There's no reason that that shouldn't have been a Justice League villain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, it, and also, they tried to paint it in the movie as they were a threat, or they were for meta threats, like meta human threats, which would make sense, except the idea of having them there is that they're completely dispensable troops.
Right.
So you could put them out there instead of actual soldiers.
As they were surrounded by actual army guys.
Yes.
Which, I'm glad you said that because I just thought of something that I want to mention, but Allie, first, you were jumping at the gall to say something.
It was just the fact that if you're thinking about this in a movie production way, they're going to think people aren't going to want to see a big action movie where it's not.
Oh, she's absolutely right. People are going to want that.
Yeah.
They want big and bad.
We're only going to get the strict comic book readers to see this movie if it's one of those just, we're sending them in there, if they die, who cares? Because this isn't that big of a deal. But if we can get it awesome, they're going to try to get everyone in the movie, and so they need that big extinction level threat.
I would disagree. If Civil War hadn't happened, I would agree.
Well, two things.
I haven't seen that yet.
And Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Two things.
Iron Man 3.
I agree with her on that, because I know what she's saying. She's saying that they're trying to pull everybody in, and they don't want to just appeal to the comic book fans.
It's also DC. The movies you just said were Marvel, who have already been established as doing good movies.
And DC's doing everything they can to copy them because they realize how far behind they are.
But also, they're also trying to catch up.
I think it's important to note that, did anyone here know who the villain was in this movie before they went to go see it?
Huh.
No.
Not a clue.
I assumed it was one. I kind of assumed it was going to be Enchantress.
I thought it was the Joker.
I knew it wasn't the Joker just because of...
They had already said that the Joker wasn't in there very much. And obviously...
But if you watch those previews...
If you watch the previews, you think Joker is either going to be the main villain or a huge part of the movie. You then read the internet, the Joker is in maybe 25 seconds total.
And then you actually watch the movie and you realize
like, there's too much in between.
There's something you guys said a second ago that made me think. You said that they were put together to fight metahumans, right?
Right.
They specifically say in the film, what if the next Superman is a terrorist?
Right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. What would any one of them have done against Superman?
Kryptonite bullet.
You better hope to God they had kryptonite
if they find it.
But... Right.
And also,
I imagine, okay,
Superman can't, like, he doesn't, but he can dodge bullets.
Right. So, Superman lands. Now he fights for the Taliban. He's Superman. And he's
super bad.
Oh my God.
He sees them. Harlequin, you know, swings her bat at him. He grabs the bat, knocks her head off in one blow. Eye beams everybody else. Like, what were they going to do against Superman? How is this going to fight a meta level threat?
But like, Slipknot can climb any building.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think it's make shitty albums.
Not anymore.
Wait a minute, the band or the guy?
He ain't climbing nothing.
He's climbing literally nothing, but
he lost his head.
I think the idea was like their ace in the hole was supposed to be Enchantress.
Yeah. She was the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could fight.
She was the only one that could have fought Superman. The rest of them would be cannon fodder slash distraction. Mm-hmm. And if there was a non, you know, Superman level threat, then they could have helped. Well, though clearly, if you watched the film, it didn't matter if they didn't, you know, have the abilities to actually do anything, they still could.
Well, and I think this is at a time where we know more about Superman than the movie characters do.
Yeah.
I think he was very much he can do all this amazing stuff, but as far as we know, he's mortal. Which now we definitely know he is.
Well, the dirt raised.
Stop it. So they think, okay, guns don't really work, so Deadshot can try. Maybe Killer Croc is strong enough to hurt him. Maybe Harley Quinn can out crazy him.
If it was like the regular Suicide Squad, where they're gonna go up against thugs and criminals and stuff like that, I could totally see Killer Croc being an asset.
Even world leaders. Gang, like mobsters, like gang leaders.
Harley Quinn would have been good because she is crazy. She is sexy. She could have used her, I'm not advocating it, but she could very easily seduce someone, got information, whatever. But in this movie, where they're fighting gods, Harley Quinn had no place.
Suppose they're fighting, maybe it's in reaction to an evil god. And or aliens or...
And even though she had no place there, she was still the hero.
Yeah.
She got the second to last death blow.
But that doesn't that then just reaffirm that her place in it?
Yeah, according to the people that wrote the film. You know, I always had a problem with Black Widow in the Avengers. And Hawkeye, to a lesser extent. I thought Hawkeye was cooler because he shot arrows and he was so good. He had, you know, this great aim. But I always thought, like, when I saw the first Avengers, I thought, why is Black Widow even there? She's got two pistols and she can throw some kicks. She's worthless compared to all of these other gods and heroes. But compared to this movie, Black Widow has more than earned her place, and her character fits. She's an operative, she's intelligent, she can kick ass, but she does her role, and you can tell where she is in the film. Harley Quinn, though, is utterly pointless.
Wild card.
She can cut the brakes of any car.
And that's the thing, like, in any other good Suicide Squad story, the only reason Harley has been present is because she's been relevant to the mission. Like, I've always talked about, like, if you guys don't want to read the comic book, that's fine, but find the animated series Assault on Arkham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that is a fantastic Suicide Squad story, and the reason they recruit Harley is because a bulk of the first mission they're given takes place in Arkham Asylum, a place where she is very, very knowledgeable of because she's been in there, and she was also a psychiatrist
there.
Yeah.
So, as opposed to this movie, where they're going to fight a god. Let's give her a bat and a six-shot pistol.
Because, it doesn't make any sense to take her and Boomerang, really, because they've got this team that they are assembling, and Slipknot. They've got this team that they are assembling for meta-level threats. Like, that's what Amanda Waller said explicitly.
Yeah.
And why Harley and Deadshot? Boomerang. Yeah, why Harley and Boomerang?
And Slipknot.
You guys are forgetting that Slipknot can climb any building. He is very... the bit's done. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, it's over.
Have an actual discussion now. Try to keep up.
No. Okay, so we've only got about 7 minutes left.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
Then we have to dedicate it to Harley and Joker.
We have to talk about Harley and Joker. I agree. Yep. First off, before we get into the horrible, horrible representation of the Harley and Joker relationship, and I think everyone here agrees that what we saw on the big screen was a horrible representation of it. Let's start by talking about Joker first off. Joker, this is easily the worst Joker that has ever been on screen, in my opinion. And all of the stuff I heard about him being a character actor and how he got into the role, he was nothing more than a eccentric meth dealer. Yeah. Will we all agree with that?
And that's basically every concern that I had from the marketing leading up to it was completely 100%. Like, I feel justified in it. It's like every wannabe gangbanger meth dealer piece of white trash is going to start modeling himself after the Joker. And the worst part is he's going to attract, if he's in a relationship with some poor girl, Oh no, but it's like, we're like Harley and Joker.
Mad love.
So there's just gonna Crazy be a whole love. Generation of abusive relationships that are,
See, if the movie had been more successful, I might agree with you, but I think that, yeah, no, it's gonna
the movie,
happen.
The movie is,
Yeah, no.
Like, no, it legitimately shattered records.
Okay, it beat a record for the highest grossing movie in the month of August.
It beat Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
In the month of August.
No, for opening. I mean, this movie's gonna make a shit ton of money.
It already has.
Yeah, it definitely has.
You cannot, for the month, for the month of August, yes, but you can't deny that it is a huge commercial success.
It made money, but not nobody liked it. The majority of people didn't like the movie.
That means nothing to the type of people I'm talking about.
I didn't say that people weren't going to be it, but you throw around the term there's going to be an entire generation of. And that I disagree with.
Yes.
I think there's going to be a half dozen.
A half dozen's too many.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, if you're right.
There's one too many.
Yeah.
Do you know how many more Deadpool shirts I've seen since Deadpool?
Deadpool's a good movie!
I'm not saying that it was Deadpool's a bad movie. I'm also not discrediting Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, before the movie even came out, how many Harley Quinn cosplays did we see at Indiana?
Quite a few.
How many do you think we're going to see at Halloween?
And not only that, but Suicide Squad Harley.
That's what I mean.
Because the Suicide Squad and Harley thing's been around for a while, but I mean, compare that number to the number of Jokers I had seen.
Let's go back to this Joker again, real quick. His costumes were terrible. They were basically club outfits by, again, an eccentric crime lord. Mm-hmm. He had no personality. They didn't even do the crazy thing right. His idea of crazy was he smiled a lot and laughed. That's not how you do the Joker.
Yeah,
That's how people who don't know how to do the Joker do the Joker.
They try to do the whole fearless thing. Like, you never know what he's going to do because he's not afraid of anything.
But he had all those knives in the circle.
Yeah, he's clearly insane.
That scene made no sense to me at all. No.
They didn't explain how he got the tattoos. They didn't explain his significance.
I really think they needed, before they did this movie, to do a movie with just Harley and Joker.
The Harley movie absolutely should have come first.
Yes.
Or Batman. They should have done Batman establishing that Joker was his nemesis.
Yeah, we were in the car and I said, you know the one thing this movie needed? 3 Batman movies before.
Yes.
They needed to set up this movie so much more with other movies.
Because what I hated about Joker most was that they never told you who he was. And I don't mean like his backstory. There was no establishment of who the Joker was as a character.
Other than just, hey, it's the Joker. You know the Joker.
Exactly. That's exactly what they did. They said, you remember the Joker, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're doing that, if you're going, hey, you remember the Joker, so we don't have to establish his character, right? Then you also have to assume that Joker and Harley is the same Joker and Harley from the comics, which is a horribly abusive relationship where the Joker could give two shits about Harley's life. He controls her. But in this movie, how many times did Joker go back for her? How many times did he jump in to save her? He showed genuine concern.
Did they portray that wrong? Yes. But that in every abusive relationship, they do go back, not because they care about the person, but because they care about the power they have over the person.
I agree.
How much could he use Harley? Someone who is that much in love with him that she would jump into a vat of chemicals?
Yeah, but they should have established better that that's what he was doing. They could have had...
Yeah, they did nothing
there,
to...
There was one scene. Jesse, tell me what you think about this. The one thing I think they could have absolutely portrayed this and justified it. When she jumped into that vat... And didn't come up at first. If Joker had just kind of laughed and walked away, and then she came up and saw he wasn't there, that would have made it right there.
No, honestly, I think if he had pushed her, that would have made the scene.
Instead of her jumping
instead
in
of
on her
jumping
own.
On her own.
Have her come up, he's not there, but she's still, like, she gets out and chases after him.
Yeah. But the point is, he's not there for her.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care about
her. Because the Joker's a sociopath, he's incapable of love.
But not in this movie. The way they portrayed him in this movie was as an eccentric crime lord who loved, and it was mad love. It was all of the things you're afraid that they were going to do to them.
And honestly, one of the things that I really feel like the more I think about the Joker and how they put him in that movie, I don't think that in the original writing of the script that he was there past the intro to Harley.
He shouldn't have been.
Because every other scene that involved anything with the Joker felt incredibly forced and out of place.
He didn't even really interact with anyone.
No, he did just chasing down Harley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And remember, like, the one scene, probably the scene that made me the most angry in the movie, which is really saying something. All right, I know I'm going to do a great visual gag here, but now say, like, Shannon's walking behind me here. I'm going to hand Dalton a cell phone.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, nobody.
No, no, no.
Thanks
so
for the cell phone.
To paint the picture in the movie, if you haven't seen it, there is a scene where they are loading all of the Suicide Squad criminals into a plane or some sort. They're transporting them.
Yeah.
They are, each of them has at least four armed guards surrounding them, as well as two entire rows of other armed guards.
No, watching
over them.
I don't think these are guards. These are soldiers.
Wait,
this is not Belle Reve personnel.
No, these are actual soldiers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Guard A comes like stupid Mad TV alumni who gives a hell.
And this guy is a Belle Reve guard.
Yeah. Walks up, hands Harley Quinn a cell phone, and says, "This is from Mr. J," or "Mr. J's coming for you," or something along those lines, in front of literally tens of dozens of people.
As Harley continues to walk away, as she's being pushed away, he says, "He'll remember me, right?" Or something along those lines.
Tell
Joker I took care of you. He yells that to her as she's being pushed away, and she responds, "You're dead.
You're screwed." Yeah. What does that mean? All right. I do want to say Ike Barinholtz. That's who Griggs was. That was that thing. I absolutely loved his character in this movie.
I mean,
like, just that really crappy guard that's just like taking advantage of everything. Cause like the one time Joker interacted with somebody, it was him. And I don't hate that Joker. I absolutely love that scene where he was like in the casino and then Joker just kind of shows up out of nowhere and just scares the ever living out of everybody in the
But he
room.
Wasn't scary. See, that's my problem with the Joker is that think back to Jack Nicholson's Joker. He was not the sociopath. He was more of the fearsome mobster type and he did it well. He seemed like a mobster that you would be afraid of because he seemed crazy, right? Look at Heath Ledger's Joker. He seemed like a sociopath that you never knew what he was capable of. This Joker just seems like they threw him out there and said, "It's the Joker. Be afraid of him." With no context to it.
I will say the one positive thing about him, and it wasn't him, is just the costumes that his henchmen wore. I thought that was kind of neat.
The little outfits.
When
they broke into the top secret facility twice to rescue Harley Quinn?
Oh, it was because of the Belle Reve guard.
Jesus
Christ. So honestly,
Christ.
Like, okay, think about it this way. You remove every scene past the intro up to where he actually
rescues her
from Belle Reve. Remove every scene involving the Joker before then. How much better is that relationship with Harley assuming the whole time that the Joker is dead? You get rid of the vat scene.
Well, not even that the Joker's dead. Remember, the Joker left her to die in that car.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Thereby establishing what the Joker-Harley relationship is.
That's not even he just left her behind. He very well could have just assumed she was dead because she was through the windshield.
Yeah.
Like,
and
okay.
She even said before they hit the water that she, I can't swim.
Right. Yeah. And Joker did it anyway to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had never put another Joker scene in it, that movie would have made, her part would have made so much more sense.
Yeah. Up until the point, even they could have taken away the escape, but they could have left the escape in there and it would have made sense. But if you just removed every other Joker scene, and that's why I legitimately believe that the Joker scenes were added in, like that was WB.
Because they wanted more
Joker. Joker.
Because already, from the moment the movie was like teased, they were planning that Harley movie.
Yeah.
Once they had Margot Robbie and they saw her in the outfit, you knew there was one
and
coming.
And honestly, like, I will say, as much crap as I give, like, how everything else went down, I thought Margot Robbie was a great Harley Quinn.
She was a great
Harley
Quinn.
She played that character well. I just hated that character.
Yes, exactly. And we don't have much time. In fact, we're over. But let's go over a couple scenes that we hated the most, just to give you an idea of why we had so many problems with this. The first one that I absolutely despise, the scene where she knocks the window in, bends over for 5 seconds just to give you the nice ass shot, and then it grabs the purse, which, by the way, she did nothing with the purse.
The purse
disappeared
gone.
Completely.
Yeah.
So
you know that was added in later because she no longer had it.
Yeah.
The scene where she's changing clothes and she changes in front of everybody and everyone stares at her because they've never seen a naked, half-naked woman before.
Literally everyone, all of the soldiers, the other criminals, like everyone just literally stopped.
Yeah, and stares.
And then she's like, "What?" And then they started moving again.
In that classic like 1980s Porky's movie type thing. Yeah.
Because I really want to talk more about Joker.
You know what? Screw it. We own the network. Let's go.
But the scene that I hated the most was Joker hijacks the helicopter. He rescues Harley, and she's dangling all happy. Amanda Waller goes to Deadshot and says, "You get your freedom. You get your daughter. You get everything you have ever wanted. Take the shot."
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
I mean, he even says
that. Oh, she did. Because he didn't want to shoot her. He's like, "Oh, she got away. Cool." That reaction makes sense. No, I'm not going to shoot her. Like, she beat you. Ha ha. Amanda Waller then offers him his daughter, the only thing he has shown to care about the entire movie. And I missed. So either he cares about Harley that much after 2 days, or he cares so much about just saying screw you to Waller.
More than
that
his kid.
That he cares more about her than his child.
Also, it's established early on that he says he never shoots a woman and he never shoots kids.
He did say that.
Yeah.
But Harley Quinn does not qualify as a woman at this point because she murdered how many people? She's a bad person. She's a killer. I feel like Deadshot would differentiate a
yeah, I don't do women, I don't do kids doesn't mean like he's not going to do just like a diplomat or, you know, a world leader. Okay, that's fine. You have your kind of little moral code there.
She's a psychopath killer.
And I think like
and again, I guarantee you, anyone who has offered him a contract for a woman did not involve his freedom from a prison and his daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he may not be able to put money on that, but there is no way he chooses that over his daughter.
That is bad writing. And this movie is filled with it.
The only pass that I could possibly give that is if he knew his daughter would be disappointed. But even then, like.
But he already kills people.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing.
And she knows he kills people.
Since Harley Quinn is a woman, I think, like, if we're gonna go back to the assuming game, because, you know, we know how much we love that game. The only thing I could think of, what passed through his mind is, like, I have a code. I don't kill women and children. I can kill this woman to see my daughter again, but if she ever finds out, like, I don't know if I could live with that.
Which then again, how's she ever gonna find out?
Also, does his daughter know his code?
I would think
now,
so.
Now, daddy's gonna go to work, but don't worry. Daddy don't shoot women or kids.
I mean, the child may have something to do with her, with his code. I don't know.
Cause yeah. In the assumption game, and this is what I'm playing whenever I'm playing it, is they have the vat scene literally right before it. And she asks, Deadshot, like, do you believe in love? And then he kind of does that, like, kind of half-hazard answer.
No.
He's like, no, you can't kill as many people as I do and still sleep like a kitten at night. And at that moment, I'm like, okay, maybe he's like equating that to his daughter. And he knows love, and he's like, I can't shoot the person that his love just grabbed her. But that's what I assumed. Now, again, it makes absolute no sense.
It's again important to remember that these people have known each other for all of 3 days. I think.
Yeah.
Not even like, that.
2 days, maybe.
Yeah. And let me just restate. I think that's dumb, but that's what I thought.
We would have a better idea of how much time had passed if they hadn't done that ridiculously weird jump cut.
Yes.
Yep. In the middle of the movie, like,
that,
oh yeah,
I
by
was
the
confused
way.
Until
was
they said
so
it
confused.
Later.
I was also confused by what was the point of them going out in the first place? Was this just a test? Because why was Amanda Waller's office right there in the middle of the zone where they led them to? Were they rescuing her?
Yeah, she was the most important person. Because remember whenever Deadshot's like, I don't speak good guy, what is H, whatever, what? And she's like, that's the one person, there's one person you can't kill. And it was Amanda Waller.
So they went to go rescue her.
Yeah,
because,
that was the mission.
Because she...
But it still seemed like a test to me.
It seemed like they were... Yeah, it almost seemed like... Because then they didn't want them to know she was there.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the point of that is, like, so as much as, like, it shouldn't have ended with them going after Enchantress and her brother. The mission itself should have only been...
To rescue Waller.
To rescue Waller.
But they didn't want them
to
know
they
were rescuing Waller.
Yeah. Because they were just going to find out anyway, because they knew she's the one that's, you know... holding them hostage at this point.
And then she had to shoot all the people that were working on it with her.
Yeah.
Also, where was the media during all this? Why were there no coverage of
that
this
whole
event?
Place had been evacuated.
Yeah, that whole
after.
Place was either evacuated.
That doesn't matter.
Or people,
you think when they evacuate a city because of a giant
god-like
thing,
their lesson
there's no
from
media?
Superman.
I think there might be a, they might have done like a military perimeter. Again, assumption.
But again, you would think that like, they can't hide this. If she shot them to hide this, I don't think you could, maybe you could hide the villains, but the first time you see Slipknot flying up there on them roofs.
You're like, why is Slipknot hanging from this building with their head?
I mean, they may have tried
where
to
does
get something,
head go?
But yeah, if the perimeter is far enough back, yeah, they would have hid the villains and just, you know, reporters
hey,
see
what's
you.
This weird stuff over Middle City or Mid City, whatever
Midtown,
it was.
Midway City.
Also,
okay.
if they were flying a helicopter to get her out of there, why didn't they just fly a helicopter there, land it, and have her get on and leave?
Because of all the monsters that turn into high-trained soldiers with AKs and...
They turned high-trained soldiers with AKs into the monsters.
No, they also did
that, but there were also civilians
yeah.
there.
I don't get it.
They had the $3,000 watch scene where mm-hmm.
yeah.
Deadshot was like, oh, a monster doesn't walk around with a $3,000 watch. Because Boomerang, because he's a bad guy, because we have to remember that these aren't heroes, steals a watch off of a zombie.
Except they are heroes, because that's the picture they kept trying to paint about these guys.
Yeah, there yeah. was not...
Feel sorry for them because...
No, they're heroes because they decided to save Amanda Waller anyway.
Which, that bugs the crap out of me, because Suicide Squad, they're not heroes. They're very much not heroes. The only reason they're doing it is because they're going to die otherwise. Like in any Suicide Squad book. And if you read any story arc, if a member of the Suicide Squad doesn't die, it wasn't a good arc.
And if, and they have no attachment to any of these people or each other. The whole Deadshot giving the rousing speech and Harlequin giving the rousing speech that all of a sudden everybody's like, we're going to do it anyway. Made no sense.
You want to know who got more people killed in Suicide Squad in the early days? It was never the person they were facing. It was Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang's awesome.
Captain Boomerang single-handedly got like 4 people killed in the first Suicide Squad arc ever.
I wish he could have got...
That's actually true because he was secretly working with Waller.
Yes.
Trying, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was like, I want more time off.
Yeah. No, yeah. He had an agreement with Waller and, any person that talked about like escaping and stuff like that, he either directly or indirectly killed them.
By the way, his line about 10 years off a triple life sentence for robbery.
Yeah.
I thought they had tied him to other crimes was the thing.
He killed his partner. Like
did he kill his partner? He hit him with a boomerang.
No, yeah, he killed him.
That's his thing.
Because it said doesn't play well with others, that whole thing.
But it didn't say he killed him.
Well, they couldn't show the kill on the screen because it's a PG-13 movie.
And that was a person.
But again, if I throw a boomerang at the back of your head.
Did you see his boomerang?
He is the captain of boomerangs.
Remember how he was your favorite part?
Yeah, his boomerangs are like knives.
But it did show the guy's head come off. It literally showed it. To me, it looked like he got hit in the back and PG-13. He fell down. God damn.
And I think he got, I think it was stuck in his back. Like, I'm pretty sure that was a,
you're gonna make me want to watch the movie again, but
no,
I don't want to watch
the
movie
again. You're
not
gonna want to.
Let's take our word for it.
All right, I will. I will take your word on it.
Because that's Captain Boomerang shtick.
I had the least amount. All right, so this year I've seen Warcraft in theater. I saw Ninja Turtles 2 in theater. I saw Ghostbusters in theater. Maybe a couple of other ones, but those
are Civil War.
Civil War, and those were the big blockbusters I've seen. Mm-hmm. Right. Civil War was a no-brainer. We knew it was going to be good, and it was really good.
Because Marvel has a clear-cut plan that they are sticking to.
Yes, and characters that are well-developed and make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Of the whole Iron Man Winter Soldier thing, didn't see it coming, but damn was it good. It worked. The backstory, you know?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later. Ninja Turtles 2, dumb, but I had a lot of fun with it. It was
fun. It's a fun movie.
It was a Ninja Turtles movie.
It's a Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be fun.
Warcraft. Blew me away. Jesse, I loved Warcraft.
It was entertaining.
It was so good.
I enjoyed it.
For a Warcraft fan especially, you know? And then Ghostbusters. Loved Ghostbusters. I'm a Ghostbusters fan. This was the least fun I've had watching a movie in theater in a long time. I haven't had this much disdain for a movie I've seen in theater since I watched Cars 2. Because Lindsay made me go watch it with her friend Haley.
Okay, good. I was like, well, you're
going
like,
to
didn't go
pretty
to see
sure
it
I haven't even seen that movie.
It was god-awful. And I remember the whole time sitting there being angry that I was there watching it. I didn't quite get to that level with Suicide Squad. But I remember just every time something was said or happened, I would look at Asa and go, why? And you would go, I don't know.
Because I had just got done looking at Jesse and saying, why? I left the movie felt so disappointed and unfulfilled because there were so many great things that could have been. There's so many parts that this could have been awesome. This could have been great. This could have been great.
Oozing with potential.
The soundtrack was amazing.
It was a good soundtrack. The colors, the visuals.
Yeah, the visuals were great. Everything was well acted, even if I disliked the direction they took the characters.
Yeah.
I would disagree with you saying that like the characters didn't, or I don't remember what you exactly said. It's like all of the characters themselves, like I understood everyone's motivation individually, but as soon as you lump them together as the team
and
the,
they start calling
the
themselves
group
a family,
and the family no, that's out the window. That's ridiculous.
It's forced. They were family because the plot needed them to be family.
Yeah.
It wasn't organic.
No, there. Yeah. It was just so. Contrived so, and
it was a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
And I know you didn't like Batman v Superman, and I know a lot of people didn't like it,
but I
think Batman v Superman was a far superior film to this. Because at least it had Batman.
It's two varieties of turds.
It had more Batman.
The Suicide
like,
Squad,
I, no,
the best
yeah.
parts of it were Batman.
And I'll tell you what,
I was about to say, I was like, we didn't mention how great the Batman
scenes. The Batman scenes were incredible. Yeah. Like him chasing down the Joker, him fighting Deadshot. Every time Batman showed up, I was like, awesome. Ben Affleck.
And they really did give him, like, one of the things that I always like about when they're showing a third party perspective of Batman. Like, whenever he had the fight with Deadshot, he's like, don't make me do this in front of your daughter. And it's one of those things, even Deadshot knew that he was probably going to lose there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it gave him, you know, that fear that he deserves, especially at that point in his career. And, like, that's just something I really like. I don't like it when they just throw him in there.
You know what you just made me realize? I hated that. Because the Batman who says, don't make me do this in front of your daughter, is not the same Batman who just murders Russians.
But he,
Those are two distinct Batman.
No, to be fair, he never did it in front of any of their daughters.
You know, I know you're mad, but he has a point.
No, he doesn't. He's doing you. He's being you.
No, but I legitimately, I do think that there's a difference between Batman killing Russians who are criminals versus not killing someone in front of their daughter. Like, I think there's
Batman
a difference.
Would feel for the daughter.
Right. As
he
an orphan.
He witnessed that.
I'm gonna side with Asa on this only because he killed random nameless Russians, but the second that somebody that's legitimately killed thousands of people is just like, oh no, his daughter's there. I gotta make sure I only apprehend him.
Well, hold on.
Where was his brain at then? He was
under actually explicit instructions by Waller to just apprehend him.
Oh,
no,
that's right.
He was not under instructions from Waller at all.
Yeah.
Waller sent an anonymous tip.
She
called in an anonymous tip, but not to the police.
Can I point something out just to play devil's advocate? Those Russians that he killed were actively trying to kill him. He didn't kill Deadshot because Deadshot's daughter was there. If Deadshot's daughter wasn't there, who's to say he wouldn't have killed Deadshot?
Asa?
I'm being dead serious. I'm not doing a bit. If his daughter wasn't there,
Deadshot actually actively tried to kill Batman.
But his daughter was there. I'm saying if his daughter wasn't there and Deadshot pulled a gun on Batman, who's to say Batman wouldn't have killed him?
A Batman who's willing to kill doesn't give a shit if his daughter's there.
You don't think he would have? No, I have to disagree. You don't think he would?
Last point. I'm going to side with Asa.
That wasn't Batman. That was Thomas Wayne.
That was a whole different.
But like, I mean, this is a whole different Batman.
You're agreeing with me, and I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Batman saw his parents die when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So you don't think that Batman would have a problem with murdering someone in front of a kid?
Okay. And if, like, let's say you're right. Let's say that, you know, oh, well, I saw my parents die. It's as weak of a thing as Martha. Why'd you say that name? Why'd you say Martha? It's stupid. It makes it terrible.
I have to disagree on that.
I'm gonna go ahead and side with Shannon on this one. Like I,
and that's fine.
Batman, that's good. Yeah, it's
I'm just saying, like,
kills.
I hate it. I think the point that I'm making is, if Batman is so easily triggered by the word Martha, it's very possible that he would then outright kill Deadshot. But I don't think he would actually say that. I don't think he would actually mean it. I think he would just use that as an excuse.
Well, because I think the reason that he said it is because he would have killed Deadshot if Deadshot had continued to try and kill him, and he didn't want to do that in front of his daughter.
Or a lot
of those Russians didn't actively try to kill him.
Or maybe because Superman's influence, Batman has changed his ways and will no longer kill.
Again, you can't assume. You said, show, don't tell.
You said in the next movie, if Batman stops killing people with no explanation, you would be fine with it. What if this is the start of that?
No. Did I say that?
You did say that.
I take that back.
You said you would be so happy if he just didn't do it. You don't even care if there was an explanation.
Oh, no takesies, backsies.
I do remember that. I do remember that because I was like, you know what? Just don't acknowledge it.
Right.
Just pretend it.
So what if this is the
start
of that?
You know what? I think this changed my mind. I think you
really?
Can't. Yeah. That seeing this, because I do remember saying that now. Yeah. Because I said, like, you know what? Just don't acknowledge it. Just give me a Batman who's like, oh yeah, no, that movie didn't really happen. It's fine. It's over. We're
but past you can't
it.
Do that.
But now seeing them try to do that, mm-hmm. like if that's what they're trying to do, no, I take that back. I was incorrect.
I was wrong
in thinking I would want something.
I will give one credit to it. I'm glad that Deadshot didn't beat Batman. Like I'm glad that.
Oh, they couldn't have done that.
Because I was thinking, because he was the main character and they want to establish him, that he would somehow beat Batman and then somehow Batman would get the upper hand in the end.
Mm-hmm. This isn't wrestling.
I'm glad they didn't do that. I mean, Batman just won.
Because that's in every, 50/50 like, booking. Suicide Squad arc ever. Anytime somebody mentions, like, a possibility of the Batman showing up, like, they avoid that at all costs. They are all completely terrified of him.
Some of those criminals might consider moving away from Gotham. The one city the Batman defends.
Riddler tried it.
He did.
You know what? I'm gonna try to beat the Flash instead. I think I can outsmart that guy.
If I was a criminal, I'd be like, all right, well, St. Louis looks nice. no heroes there.
Shows up, it's like, man, I'm going to take over Detroit. Who beat me here?
Oh, also, we have RoboCop under Marvel now.
damn it!
And Riddler goes, I ain't messing with that guy.
In the next Batman movie, I'm assuming they're gonna completely flesh out the fact that Joker killed Robin. Like, I know
Harley killed Robin.
No, he's an accomplice.
It does say accomplice.
Yeah. She was an accomplice in the murder of Robin.
So can I say that this, and I can never emphasize enough that this movie needed three Batman, because now they've established that now that Batman's willing to kill, Joker's dead. We don't know which Joker it is, or we don't know which Robin it is.
I was about to say Joker's not dead.
Also, I said it wrong. You bring up a good point. we now know that that Joker killed Robin. We know that Batman kills criminals.
We still don't
know. We know that Joker was in jail.
We don't know
why
the
was
timeline.
Joker in jail.
We don't have a timeline, which is the most frustrating thing.
Yeah. No, we do have a timeline because at the we have some of a timeline.
This is clearly Suicide Squad. Yeah, Suicide Squad is post Batman v Superman.
What I'm saying is we have no timeline
of when the Joker and Harley was active.
We literally,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's
like
true.
We needed three more Batman, a Flash, and probably another Superman movie.
And I still say if Joker killed Robin, Joker is not alive.
Yeah. Batman
would
go. You
cannot have Joker alive if Joker's the one who killed Robin.
Because let's think about it.
You have a Batman that kills.
Who is Batman?
If he has that Batmobile that has the Gatling gun and the rocket launcher, he would have blown the hell out of that car.
Yeah, and Batman is the kind of guy who can sneak into places anywhere and do what he wants. So if Batman's best friend / ward was murdered by this psychopath, you're saying Batman wouldn't have, even if they caught Joker before Batman got him, you're saying Batman wouldn't have snuck into Arkham and just snapped his little neck?
No, absolutely he would have.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
With this character, that's willing to kill Russians, just nameless.
The DC universe, the movie universe, is such a disjointed, chaotic, like they don't know what they want to do.
This movie made me less excited for not only Justice League, but Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I'm scared what WB is going to do to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the real problem is WB. Like, WB just keeps, like, stepping in and, like, hey, guys, we really need to do this. Well, I mean, Batman v Superman probably wouldn't have been much better without WB, but...
Because they gave it to Zack Snyder.
Yeah. But either way, like, WB is really just... They're the ones that are killing the DCUE.
It's like the... You know the picture of it's the guy on the bike, and he takes the pipe, and he shoves
it
in the front,
yeah.
And then he blames, like, it's whatever. It's that's them. And then he's down there holding his knee, just like, damn, fans don't know what they want. It's like, no, we do. You're bad. You're doing bad. You're doing bad things.
You have just decades of comic books to base this on. You have characters that have rich histories. You can copy storylines that were already established. And instead, you, of all the flavors, you chose bullshit?
I am so fine with them trying to tell their own story. Like, the DC animated, the directs.
Yeah,
DC directs.
The DC directs are amazing because they do take, okay, here's a story that we have in the past in the comics. We are now going to just put it out on film as it was in the comics. And they do a great job of that. I'm so okay with them trying to tell their own story and put their own flavors on characters. Like, I thought Jared Leto performed Joker well for that version. Again, it's just, I don't like this version of him.
Yeah.
It also, my friend Katie was 100% correct in that for how little in the movie he was, the whole method acting, pranking stuff he did is totally unwarranted. You don't get to do that if you're...
I also want to say that I don't think Jared Leto did a good job. I know he's a good actor. Mm-hmm. I've seen him in good parts. He was great in American Psycho. That was kind of an easy part to play-ish. But when I look at Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger, the reason they were so good as the Joker is because you can tell they went all in. And say whichever one you like better.
It was so forced. Like, you could tell, like, oh, I'm going to send a used condom, and I'm going to send him a live chicken. And it's like, I have to do it because they did it.
Right. But when they did it, it was new and it was fresh, and they went all out. They put their whole hearts to it. They went over the top because you have to go over the top with Joker. Mm-hmm. With Leto, it's like either he didn't go over the top or he was scared to or something.
I think it was just they were trying so hard to distance themselves from Heath Ledger. Like, they could not. Heath Ledger did such an amazing job as the Joker that they did not want to draw any sort of comparison. So they made him as different as possible. They tried to almost make it a different character. But the point I was getting at is I'm fine with them wanting to make these little tweaks and, you know, okay, that's fine. But if you're going to have Batman kill people, you have to show me the exact moment that he decided to cross that line.
Which we assume is when Joker killed Robin, maybe.
Again.
But then why would Joker be alive?
Yeah.
So it couldn't
have
been
just
that
bad
scene.
That's just bad storytelling.
And that's what I'm saying. We have no timeline.
You have to show us. You can't just let us wonder and guess and speculate. With these characters that are so entrenched in almost 60 years of history, you can't just leave it open to debate. No, you have to establish these characters for how you're going to treat them.
You can't start a new franchise with Batman and have one of Batman's lines be, we've been doing this for 20 years.
You can. You really can. Like, that's the...
I mean, that was actually okay when they talked about that.
But not when they change everything.
No. That's the thing. It's like Kingdom Come. Stuck with, okay, here's the formula for Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to start in the future, but everyone's the same, so you can be caught up.
Right.
You can't, like you said, you can't just do 20 years in the future with, oh yeah, by the way,
I kill people now.
There's a split in the timeline.
Yeah.
So now here's all this. And if you, like Flashpoint. Flashpoint kind of did that, where Batman's killing people left and right, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are literally at war with each other, but then they go out of their way to explain exactly how everything happened.
Yeah.
Because Thomas Wayne, not Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one...
Yeah, like it...
But in this one, they just go, this is what we present, take it.
Yeah.
Or leave it. And you know what people did? They took it. And that's why it's shattering records. Now compare that to Ghostbusters, which I thought was a legitimately good film. But all of the naysayers, they damned the movie before it ever came out. So here's a good movie that made less than its budget because of negative press.
Lost $70 million.
Now here's a bad movie that is shattering records despite negative reviews.
Guaranteed going to get some sort of sequel.
Yeah, like last I looked on Rotten Tomatoes, it was under a 30.
And Ghostbusters, I think last I checked, was like 74, 75.
Yeah, it was actually fairly, like, it was fresh at the very least.
But because the people came out ahead of the movie, some people have submitted reviews without actually seeing it.
Yeah.
That the movie got damned immediately. Whereas Suicide Squad, despite being a not good movie, will make money despite itself.
My friend Seth,
in
who
spite of itself.
Loves movies, his life is movies. Like, he's going to school to be a film director. Like, he can find the good in any movie. And I was really, he posted a review of it. And I was just like, okay. And he's usually, he changed my mind about Man of Steel because he pointed out certain things that I didn't really take into consideration. I was like, okay, I take back that it's a train wreck. I still personally didn't enjoy it, but now I understand more about it. Trashed it. He hated it. And that made me feel just so much better. Like, okay, I'm not just a hateful person. I mean, I am, but other people feel this way too.
Let's call them out. J.R. Davis liked it.
J.R. Davis really liked it.
J.R., what's up, man?
I think my original
thought you
review...
were cool.
Like, whenever I saw it before you guys, I was just like, I liked it, but it wasn't good.
You specifically said, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't a good movie.
See, and that's kind of like how I was. Like, I was entertained throughout it. Mm-hmm. I was just so, like, I was so close to being able to really, really get behind it.
And it's like
just,
episode one of Star Wars. When I watched episode one of Star Wars, the whole movie, I was like, this is great. Lightsabers. But then the moment you walk out, you're like,
But this makes no sense. Yeah, and that's, and I mean, that's literally what I told you guys. Like, I liked it, but it wasn't good.
Yeah.
I kept waiting. Jesse, I told you this. It was like a carrot on a stick. I kept waiting to get that carrot. Something was going to happen.
Chasing the dragon.
Yeah, something amazing. And then it never did.
Yeah.
Credits rolled. Batman spoke to Amanda Waller.
Oh, can we go to that? Because apparently just everyone's going to know who Batman is forever and ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bugs the crap out of me. They never established that she knew who he was, other than the throwaway line of stop working nights and the fact that he wanted these files.
Right.
But I mean, you could
say Bruce Wayne doesn't want those files.
Bruce Wayne wouldn't care about it.
No.
You know, it... Part of Batman's secret was that it was a secret.
Because no one knew who it was.
Yeah.
Like, even in the comics now, like, little too many people know who Batman is for my liking, but it makes sense.
I mean, the other DC heroes, for sure, like, a lot of them know
who
he
is.
Like, the Justice League. But they should know who he is.
They also explained, like, why they know and how they know. Like, Commissioner Gordon, he knows who Batman is because he was Batman. They figured it out. They broke that code. That makes sense. But, like, Lex Luthor and Batman v Superman, no reason he should know who that is other than just, yeah, but he's really smart. Like, show me how. Show your work.
See, if it would have been...
I'm deducting points because you just wrote in the answer.
If it was the Nolan trilogy, I would almost say it made sense because Batman was so obviously Bruce Wayne in that movie.
Yeah.
Batman disappears the same time Bruce Wayne does. They died the same day. But this movie, they had no evidence showing Bruce Wayne was Batman. Nothing. There was no connection.
Yeah.
It was bad.
But Lex Luthor is really smart. He looked to the back of the book. He found it was an odd number question.
There was a rule in Sailor Moon that the moment you found out who Sailor Moon was, you were dead. Every single character that found out she was this teenage girl died almost immediately after. So it was like a thing is if you found out who the secret identity of the secret hero was, you were going to get killed off to protect that secret identity.
Mm-hmm.
Not in Batman. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was just like, so you're Batman, right?
You handed me that code.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me because he was in kind of an amalgamation of all the Robins.
Yeah.
Because, Tim Drake actually discovered
name was Robin.
His name was Robin.
Yeah. But like,
what a great movie that was.
Because Tim Drake actually just figured out, like, he used detective skills to decide or to figure out who Batman was.
But like, to be fair, like that was supposed to be such an impressive feat, and that's why I like Tim Drake a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that was supposed to be such an impressive
versus
feat.
Versus just, your smile's fake.
Yeah.
Well, hey, to be fair, he gave him his entire organization at the end. It was so good.
He did.
You know, thereby setting him up to die because he had no training.
Yeah, Tim Drake was, like, it was such an accomplishment that Batman was like, all right, you're my Robin now. Like, yeah,
as opposed to going, you're so good, you're Batman
that's
now.
That's why I wanted one more Nolan movie. And it was, Levitt as Batman versus Riddler. Not Ra's al Ghul, like, super ninja, not like extinction level threat. Just
intelligence
actual,
versus intelligence.
Like a straight up detective story, kind of like how Dark Knight kind of was.
Yeah.
But like more detective story. I think that would have been amazing.
I like when Batman actually gets to do detective work.
I do too.
That was one of my favorite parts of Batman v Superman, was that he got to do like the spy stuff and the detective
stuff. That's my only negative about Batman Detective Comics right now, is that because the Detective Comics used to be the home for Batman doing detective work. And now it's...
It was the more mystery stories opposed to the action.
As opposed
now,
to action comics.
And now it's like, hey, so we don't have anything for Batwoman or Red Robin.
Well, shoot her again.
Here you go.
Put them in this book.
With Clayface.
Which honestly sounds really cool.
Like, would Clayface have not have been a better choice than Killer Croc?
Well, no, Clayface is in a Detective Comics book now.
Well, yeah. I'm saying in Suicide Squad, the movie, like, why would you not pick, assuming he existed?
CG budget wasn't high enough.
Yeah.
They spent way too much on
that's why they had to do practical effects.
I was about to say, like, you saw Killer Croc. What do you think Clayface
oh,
would
my
look
God.
Like?
I'm having visions
it's just
of
that, but brown.
And then, no, because that's just the Goomba.
I'm thinking of the Thing from the first Fantastic Four movie. Where it was just like, it was just like styrofoam painted.
They couldn't afford a pillow to
the
put around Killer Croc.
Just painted orange Hulk hands.
Now see, I feel like what would have happened, like you would have seen him as the cool like blob thing for like literally 10 seconds, and then he would have freaked everybody out and transformed into whoever the voice actor was.
Exactly. Yeah. He could have been human
Basil
and just
I'm playing Basil Carlo.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got to go. We're at an hour 30. Here's the gist of it. It wasn't a good movie.
No.
We don't recommend it.
No.
And I wanted to like, I was so excited. Batman v Superman was so bad, and these trailers made it look like so much fun.
It made it look like the anti-Batman. Batman v Superman. It was almost like them saying, if you didn't enjoy this, you're going to love this. It's fun.
It's a fun romp of killers and like
so
fun.
So close
but
to being so great. Like there were just these brief little glimpses of like, that would have been amazing. I want to go to there. And then just immediate, smash. Just
hey,
nope.
My ear just popped.
Yay.
Like I can... It's not, nope, there, it's back now. But for a second it popped. Let's end it with that.
That's how that movie was. It's like, I'm there and it's gone.
It's good. No. It's bad again. It's bad. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you guys for listening for this hour and a half. It was a lot of fun and a lot of anger too.
Yes.
Hunter, I hope you enjoyed it. Cody?
They won't listen for another week or so until they see it.
Oh, that's true. Well, no, Hunter will probably listen anyway. He doesn't. As bad as we've knocked this movie, he probably does not give a shit at this point.
I mean, he probably still wants to see it for himself at some point, but.
But,
I don't know.
Hunter, if you're still listening, it can wait.
Yeah.
It can
rent it, bro. Family, video that.
We're getting out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Jesse, thanks for making an appearance tonight.
Hey, no problem.
His second Tuesday in a row.
Yes.
Yeah, it's craziness.
Become a regular. Dalton, thanks for coming back.
Yep.
Asa and Ali, of course.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We actually have a lot to talk about and hoping to have a good time. We're out of here. Dalton, tell Jesse to take us out.
Jesse, take us out.
No.